Hello, and welcome to the first episode of this season of Sports Pitch. My name is Brad Haydank. In this program, I will sit down with various University of Central Missouri athletes, coaches, and supporting staff who help make Mules and Jennies Athletics such a success. Today, a University of Central Missouri Athletics Hall of Famer will join me on the show. This is Sports Pitch. Our guest today is UCM Athletics Hall of Famer Kim Anderson. Coach Anderson has done it all in his career, from playing in the NBA with the Portland Trailblazers to winning a Division II national championship as a coach. Now on the radio for UCM basketball games and serving as a special advisor to the president on the national state of intercollegiate athletics. I could continue down the long list of accomplishments that Coach Anderson has accumulated in his very long storied career, but I think it's best to hear from the coach himself. So Coach Anderson, welcome to Sports Pitch.
Brad, thank you. It's great to be here. I've done this show many times, but it's been a few years. I noticed it's still got about the same temperature in here that it had 10 years ago.
Yeah, a little chilly down here. That's why we wear the sweatshirt. So I want to start with your playing career. Initially, basketball has turned into a lot of your career, a lot of your life. What initially got you into the sport?
Well, I've been very fortunate, Brad. I mean, I've had great people surrounding me. I've had great mentors. But most of all, I've had great parents. And, I actually got started, I think. My dad was a teacher and a coach at a small town in Smithton, Missouri. And then we moved to Sedalia when I was young, and he became an elementary school teacher. And so obviously he was a good basketball player, and he would work with me. But probably the greatest thing that my sister and I have always said is he had a key to the gym, And so every place he taught, we could always go up there in the middle of the winter and play. And so, I think I've had a lot of influences on my life, but I think as many people, I think my parents were probably the people that actually got me going.
And you were talking about some of those influences. You went to play basketball collegiately at Mizzou, played under Hall of Famer coach Norm Stewart. Was he an influence in your decision to go to Mizzou?
Well, definitely. Obviously, next to my parents, I think Coach Stewart has probably had a major influence on my life, as some other coaches. I had great high school coaches, Jim Dinsdale, Dave Porter, Willie Jenkins. I worked, when I got to be a coach, I worked for Coach Gene Iba. But Coach Stewart was kind of the guy that when I was young, I remember going to a basketball camp in, I think it was Lexington, Missouri. It was his camp, and I was probably seventh grader, eighth grader, and he came over to the basket I was just shooting around on, and he worked with me for like 15 or 20 minutes, and that kind of stuck with me. So, obviously I had several choices when it came time to go to college, but I think, if I was honest, I think Mizzou was a leader all the time.
So you're talking about that selflessness out of Coach Stewart. Did that play a role into you eventually becoming a coach?
Yeah, I think his influence and the influence of my parents and just the love of the game. I actually went to Mizzou with the idea of studying journalism, and because Mizzou has a great journalism school and I like to write. And, I thought being a sports writer would be a lot of fun. And after my first year at Mizzou, taking some pre-journalism courses, I decided that being a sports writer would not be fun. So I kind of set my goals towards being a coach. I didn't know what level I would end up at. I interviewed, I finished my master's degree at Mizzou, and I played overseas and in the NBA, but I even interviewed for some high school coaching jobs, and I didn't get them. So You know, maybe that's the way God has of steering you in a certain direction. But, you know, I ended up in Mizzou as a grad assistant and then kind of built my career from there as a coach.
You mentioned your NBA day with the Portland Trail Blazers, those days of your career. What was that like playing in the NBA?
Well, it's everybody's dream, every kid's dream. You know, you grow up, you're in the backyard, you're pretending you're whomever, you know, Michael Jordan or whatever, and you're making a winning shot, and you're pumping your fist, and you're jumping up in the air. I think that playing in the NBA was a great experience. But truth be known, I probably, I was like 6'8", 6'7", 6'8", and I wasn't quick enough to be a small forward, and I wasn't big enough to be a power forward. And I went to a team, Portland, that actually had had some great success, won the world championship the year they drafted me. And so they didn't really need me, you know, and so I played some, but I think for me, you know, I like to play. Everybody likes to play. They don't want to sit on the bench. I don't care, you know, how good the food is and all that stuff. But for me, you know, playing in Europe was a lot better experience, and obviously got to play all the time. The competition wasn't quite as good as it would have been, you know, in the NBA. So, you know, my wife and I spent 3 years over there, and it was really a great experience.
And you mentioned some of the NBA players that kids today try to emulate. You talked about Jordan. Who are some of those players for you?
Well, I think the one guy that I really remember is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. At that time, I think, you know, we all watched Kareem play basketball, and we say, well, yeah, he's tall, but when you get next to him and actually, you know, you're right there next to him, I mean, he's not just tall, he's big. And so, you know, I can remember getting my shot blocked rather profusely by Jabbar one time. And you know, there were a lot of other players on my own team. You know, Bill Walton was on my team. You know, and he turned out that he was a great player. So, you know, it was so long ago. You know, people always ask me, well, did you play against Jordan? And I'm more like the Julius Erving era, you know. I'm back quite a ways.
So you just talked about playing against Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Is that the best player you'd say you've played against? Is there a sneaky guy that people wouldn't think?
He's the best. Okay. Really, he really is. It's just, you know, you see this guy and he's just so big. But when you watch him on TV, you think, oh yeah, he's skinny and whatever. He is not. He was not skinny. I mean, he was just built. And you know, I'm 6'8", and you got to remember, he's like 5 or 6 inches taller than me, and he can move. So you know, there were a lot of great players, but he's the one that stands out.
After your playing days, you then transitioned to become a coach. What fed into that after your playing days were over that you decided you wanted to foster the next generation as a coach?
Well, I finished playing, and looking back, I probably could have played a little bit longer. I played in Italy for a couple of years, played in France. I think that I kind of grew into a love for the game and the technical part of the game. And so I was afforded the opportunity by Coach Stewart to be a graduate assistant. And so I came back, and from 1982 to 85, I was a GA at Mizzou. And that really was a great learning experience. And, you know, the great thing about coaching is that really I never felt like I worked a day in my life. I mean, come on, man, you get to prepare sweatsuit, and gym shorts, tennis shoes, you know, and you know, it was uncomfortable today getting dressed up like this. But I think just the opportunity to teach young kids and kind of, you know, what I did, how I grew up, and to be able to work with them and make them better.
So you ended up coming then to the University of Central Missouri. You led this Mules basketball squad. You're a native of Sedalia, just 30 minutes away from here. Did that play a role, your hometown, in ending up coming into Warrensburg as a coach?
Well, it did. I had been at Mizzou for 3 years as a GA, and then I had been at Baylor University under an outstanding coach, Gene Iba. And people who are a little bit older will understand the Iba family, you know, one of the great coaching trees in basketball. But I was at Baylor for 6 years, and then I had the opportunity to go back to Mizzou as a what they would call full-time assistant coach, and I was there for 8. Coach Stewart retired, and then I went to the Big 12 Conference in Dallas, Texas as assistant commissioner for 3 years, and then this job opened up, and you know, the great all-time great athletic director Jerry Hughes here. You know, he had asked me a couple of times before if I'd be interested, and I was like, no, I'm going to chase this D1 dream, and I stayed at Mizzou. But, you know, this time I hadn't, you know, I was working in the conference office. I loved it. It was absolutely unbelievable to see the other side of college sports. And so I came back, and I said I'd take the job, and you know, the rest is history. But it, certainly when I got back here, in what, 2002, it certainly was a learning experience for me. I've never been a head coach. And, you know, it's real easy to sit over here and make a lot of suggestions. But, you know, when you're sitting in this big chair, you got to have answers and you got to have results. And so it was a learning experience for me, but fortunately I had good assistant coaches and I had good players. The first year we weren't good as a team, but boy, I had some great guys, you know, and they just loved to play, and we just, you know, we kind of learned together, and that, I think that was a big help for me.
And you talked about finding those answers, and you did so. In 12 years here at UCM, went to the NCAA postseason, you made 7 appearances. You were also the winningest coach in UCM Mules basketball history as of now. What's the secret? Is there a secret to that success?
Oh, I think the secret is, first of all, you got to surround yourself with good people. And you have to be in a situation where you can succeed. You know, the University of Central Missouri was a great opportunity to succeed. And you know, I go back to Coach Hughes, to Jerry Hughes, was the athletic director. You know, he was the guy that did everything he could to give you the resources you need to be successful. So, you know, I think, you know, being at the right school, and this is a, you know, UCM's always been a basketball crazy school. So I think that was probably something. And then surrounding yourself with good assistant coaches. You know, I had an assistant coach, Brad Luce, who was here for all 12 years with me. And, you know, that certainly makes a big difference to have that continuity. And then, you know, come on, it gets down to players. You know, you got to have good players. And, you know, I think we tried to get the best players that we could. We tried to teach them, we tried to mentor them, and we tried to make sure that they got their degree and took care of their business on and off the court. So I think those are the ingredients. I don't think it's a big secret. You know, I think you got to have the opportunity, you got to have the situation to be successful, you got to have good people around you, and then you got to have good players. And then it's just support. I mean, I don't remember exactly what year, but there was one year when we led the nation in attendance. We had almost like 3,700 people per game. And, you know, it says a lot for UCM and the students back at that time and the administration and all the people that supported us.
Well, Coach, for now we need to step aside. When we come back, we will get into the national championship run that Coach Anderson went on and more. Stick around. Sports Page returns right after this. Welcome back to Sports Page. UCM Athletics Hall of Famer Coach Kim Anderson is still with us today. So, Coach, now I want to get into the national championship run that your team made in the 2013-2014 season, 30-5 record. What was going for that team to end up as national champions?
Well, that was a team, if I was honest, I would tell you that wasn't the best team I ever had. I think the 2009-2010 team that got beat in the regional finals. But I think that in to win a national championship, it's more than just, you know, X's and O's. You got to have a little bit of luck along the way. But I thought that team, we were good. We had a good year. But we got beat in the first round of the conference tournament by Northeastern Oklahoma. And actually, that team had beaten us twice this year. We only lost five games, so they had beaten us twice. And so we came home after the first round of the MIAA tournament, and I think it got down to a point to where, hey, what are we going to do? You know, put our heads down and work, and because we know we're better, or are we just going to say, hey, you know, had a great year, you know, we'll have a little banquet at the end of the year, maybe have some chicken or whatever, you know. And these guys actually put their heads down and went to work. And you know, we get some breaks. Obviously, we had some breaks. But I think that was the key to this team. They had good leadership. Dalen Robinson and John Gillum and Dylan Deck and Brennan Hughes and Charles Hamrick, you know, they had guys. I'm leaving guys out. But, they had a good group of guys, and they knew they had messed up, and so they came back and got after it.
So, talking about the NCAA Division II Central Region Tournament in Minnesota, faced Northwest Missouri State, big rival of the Mules. Dalen Robinson, you just talked about him, had two free throw attempts with 2 seconds to play. What are the emotions for you as a coach during those two shots? Tie game, what's going through your head?
Well, I think the emotions for Maria was the reason he had those shots is he had gotten fouled, obviously, down, I think, on the other end of the floor. But when he got fouled, he thought the game was over, and he bounced the ball down on the floor, and it went up to the ceiling, and they call a technical foul. So now Northwest gets free throws, and so Dalen goes down to the other end, and I told him, because that was a game, you know. I said, hey, you better make these, and he did. And I think, obviously, when you're in the game, the emotion maybe doesn't catch up with you until it's over. But credit him for stepping up and knocking down some big shots.
And then another big game in that run was in the Final Four, faced the number one team in the nation at the time of Metro State. TJ White layup late in the game to win it by two. What was that game like for your squad?
Well, you know, this team, the thing about this team was you take a guy like TJ White, you take Jordan Epps, Brennan Hughes, those guys didn't start. And I thought that one of the greatest things about this team is that they would come in off the bench and make contributions. And TJ's a guy, to be candid with you, when it's late in the game, you always want him in there because he's going to do something, good or bad, you know. And so he makes a big play, and we beat the number one, or I guess, yeah, they were number one mm-hmm. team in the country at that time to enable to get to the championship game.
And then the big one, the national championship. Can you take me through that game?
Well, we were playing West Liberty. West Liberty is a team that's really known for getting up and down the floor. I mean, they really, really, they average over 100 points a game that year. And so we knew that we wouldn't be able to outscore them. We knew that. So we knew that the most important part of this game was going to be the defense. And, you know, the game was pretty tight most of the game. And then toward the end, we got a couple buckets and we held them. And I think we had a 5-point lead maybe with 45 seconds to go or something. And we made a turnover and they got the ball back. And our defense held, missed the shot, and we got fouled. Dylan Deck, I think, went to the line, and he probably shoots about 45 or 50% from the free throw line, and he steps up and knocks down two. So at that time, I felt pretty good about our chances to win, to be honest with you. But it was a great game. It was two really good teams, and it was a fun game to coach. It really was. And I think winning it obviously is great. You know, being national champions is means so much for those guys who work so hard. But I think it means so much for the school, you know, the school, the community, you know, all the alums, all the people that have supported University of Central Missouri, to be able for them to, you know, go to the water cooler on Monday and say, hey, my team won the national championship. It doesn't matter what level it is. They won the national championship. And I think, you know, the guys that were on that team were really special guys, had special mentality. And I think that's something you don't get every year.
And you talked about the community, and now you're back in the community. You're a special advisor to the president. Could you take me through a little bit of what you do in that role?
Well, first of all, Warrensburg is a great place, you know, and what was great for me was being able to come back after I retired. I'd coached it here for 12 years, and I'd gone to Mizzou for three, and then I'd gone to Pittsburgh State for five. And, you know, we were trying to decide, you know, where we wanted to live. And I grew up in Sedalia, so we moved to Sedalia, and then I was approached by Dr. Best to maybe, I mean, the term is special advisor. He doesn't need a whole lot of advice, by the way, but just to be involved with the school and be involved with the, a little bit with talking about NIL, which I don't do a whole lot of. It's just kind of getting to Division II. Some schools have more than others. But, you know, I help a little bit on fundraising. I do, you know, do the radio, like we said before. I go to a lot of events, and kind of do what he needs for me to do. And you know, it's not a full-time 8-to-5 deal, but it's great. It's fun. It's great being on campus, and you know, and it's not a position that ties you down a lot. Allows you to do different things. So I'm very grateful to him for giving me the chance. You know, he was here in 1995, I think. I think we talked one time. So he's been here quite a while. And so he's seen a lot of things happen athletically over the years.
And you were talking about radio. You do color commentary for UCM basketball. What got you into radio? I know you said President Best may just want you to do it, but what excites you about radio?
Well, he didn't really know. You know, I think I've always, way back when I was a kid, I wanted to be a disc jockey. And I had my own little radio station set up in the basement, and it would broadcast like down the block a little bit. It wouldn't go very far. FCC regulations, I guess. But Greg Hassler and I are good friends, and he and I visited about it when I first moved back, and we thought, you know, I really enjoy it. And I think people say to me, do you miss coaching? No, I don't. I don't miss coaching. You know, I think I was ready to stop coaching. I'm not sure in today's climate of intercollegiate athletics I would want to still be coaching, but it does keep me involved with the game. It keeps me involved with the team. I spend some time with Coach Bohotch and Coach Slifer some, and actually kind of, you know, sit down and strategize a little bit about maybe, hey, what would I do? Would I have done this? Would I do this? What should we do or whatever? So it just keeps me involved, and it keeps me involved with the school, and it's fun. It's fun. I get to I go to a few road games, and you know, my son's assistant AD here, Ryan, for communications. So I get to hang with him a little bit as we go on the road. So it's been a good experience for me.
And you were talking about being on the radio and pregame, maybe talking to the coaches or postgame. Is there ever that coach's brain during the game? Like in the moment, wow, I would have done this. I would not have done this.
All the time.
Is that hard to shut off?
Yeah, I think that's always in your head. I don't always say it. You know, I don't ever say, oh man, coach is crazy, doing the wrong thing. I don't ever do that. Because there's so many different ways to do things, you know, and that doesn't mean the way I would do it is better than the way Coach Bohatz would do it or Coach Slifer or anybody. It's just a matter of, you know, you're even though you're not coaching anymore, your mind's still kind of, you know, whirling a little bit, thinking about, hey, I could do this. Maybe they should have done this. But I don't normally say that. Very rarely do I. I don't ever criticize the coaches because I know how hard it is. I know how hard it is to sit over there and make those decisions.
And you talked about the flexibility you get in your job now. So with that extra time that you may have, what are you up to?
Well, you know, I live in Sedalia, and I play golf, and I'm one of the worst golfers that ever hit the earth. But I do spend time playing golf, spend time as much as I can with my family. I'm afforded the opportunity now to be around them a little bit more. And like I said, you know, I help out here whenever I can. So, you know, retirement's been good, kind of semi-retirement. But it doesn't mean my golf game's any better. You know, I'm lucky I got some guys to let me play with them. So we have a good time.
Well, Coach, thank you for joining the show today. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Great job.
Thank you.
A+.
Well, that is all the time we have here for this episode. A special thank you to Coach Kim Anderson for joining us for the entirety of the episode today. My name is Brad Haydank, and thank you for watching Sports Page.